at somebody and say, as I did last week, look at somebody and say, man, you look good today. But tell them, not as good as I do. Lauren Vernon, I messed up on that song because of you. I looked up and saw that camera. I said, doggone it. Thanks, Bridget. So anyway, let's bow our heads as we go into the Lord in prayer, and let's just ask the Lord to be with us the next few moments as He gives me the words to say, and just anything in your hearts that you need to hear, I hope that it comes forth today, and we're just going to give it all to the Lord this morning. Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for once again bringing us here this morning. I thank You for what You're doing. Father, I thank You, Lord, for our spirit that's dwelling in this place. Father, I ask You, Lord, to give me the words to say and let my lips speak what You would have me to say, Lord, and nothing that of any of my opinion, Lord, is just straight from Your Word. So, Father, we know Your Word sets us free. Father, we lean on the truth this morning. We're here because of the truth. And, Lord, we're not here for entertainment. So, Father, I'm praying for every heart this morning, Lord, that You will speak to every heart that's sitting in this congregation, Lord. For everybody that's walked in here, Lord, has a problem, or they has a question, or there's something in their life, Lord, and You see it. Father, maybe there's a prayer request in somebody's life right now, Lord, and we're just giving it all to You now. So be with us the next few moments as we speak Your Word. In Your precious name we pray, and we all say,
amen.
I'm going to be going in the book of 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 3. Chapter 4, and before I do that, I have forgot one thing. Children, 5-year-old to 12-year-old, if you would please stand. Children, 5-year-old to 12 years old, in an orderly fashion, ease on the class.
What are you doing? Paying lessons
extra? Ease there and ease back. Tristan, there we go. Okay, that was a lot of kids, man. Wow, I feel for those those teachers, buddy. Okay. Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to wait till it quiets down a second here. Okay. First of all, I want to talk about confusion in our society, because as you know and as I know, we are living in a confused world. We are living in a confused society. We're living in confused times. This is the most confused world, time, and society that I've ever seen in my life. Would anybody agree with that? Everything is the opposite of what it's supposed to be. It seems like everything now that's right is wrong. Everything that's wrong is right. I'm going to place the blame on my chest this morning and on our chest, okay? Because maybe it's something that we have allowed. Because I can look at in society and tell you there's things going on that's not in His Word. And the society is saying it's okay, but the Word of God says it's not okay. And I will tell you something right now. If it was wrong 50 years ago from the Word of God, you can best believe 50 years later now, it is still wrong. Now we have these things, what we call evolving churches, evolving society, evolving people, evolving Christians. Let me tell you something. The Bible just don't evolve. It was the truth from the beginning, and it's going to be the truth till the end. So just because people are changing, just because churches are changing, just because rules are changing, it doesn't mean that the Bible is going to change. Are y'all with me this morning? So let me tell y'all something real quick, and as I get into it, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. I would like for somebody to read that out loud if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Would somebody please read that? If you, when you get there, stand up and read it boldly. We're getting there. Oh, go ahead, Brother Coop. Listen closely.
It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and is in all churches of the saints."
Yeah, I want you to read that one more time, Coop. I want everybody's ear to listen to what he just said from the Word of God.
"For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and is in all churches of the saints."
Thank you, Brother Coop. The Bible says from the Word of God that he is the author. He is not the author of confusion. Okay? That just doesn't mean the church. That means society. That means his rules. That means his word that we read. That means when we live for him. That means when we go out to minister to people, that he is not the author of confusion. But he's a God of order, and he's a God of rule, and he is the Word of God. Now let me give you some examples here that I just experienced this week, okay? And this is going to go along with what I'm saying. It's really not funny. You might laugh, but when it comes down to it, it's not funny. And this is the society we live in. I can't tell you where I was at, but I was at work. And a couple of people came in. Okay? Two girls came in. One of the girls was dressed like a boy. Okay? Had boy pants on. Okay, now, let me say one thing. I'm not throwing darts at anybody that wants to dress the way they want to dress, but I'm fixing to show you how confused society is according to the Word of God, not by my opinion. Okay? So, a girl walks in with another girl. She has on a hat, a boy hat, whatever a boy hat looks like. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Boy shorts and a boy tank top on. Not a girl tank top, but a boy tank top. She sits down right behind it or her or him. This just being serious. A boy walks in and he's... Okay. All right. Two earrings on, girl glasses, okay. Dressed like a girl, okay. So I say, "Could I help you with something?" The little boy, man, boy, says, "Yes, I brought a car in. I just want to get my money." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Could I help you with something?" The girl said, "Yeah." "I brought a car in also." Okay. So the little boy got on the phone, started talking on the cell phone. "Oh yeah, I brought in a car. I'm going to get me some money." And so, you know, just talking like a girl. Okay. Okay. So they continue on. Now I'm going to fast forward. Same week. This is all this week. Okay. I was at a place eating. Can't tell you where it was at, but I was at Applebee's. I walk in. Okay. Now I want to say this one time. We are supposed to be correcting these people. These people are not to be slandered. These people are not to be downed, made fun of, but they're confused. Somewhere along the line, they have gotten confused, and it's up to us to teach these people things in society. This is where we have come in society, and we have allowed it. We're not to hate them, we're not to make fun of them, but we are to correct, rebuke, and teach them. Because this has started in the church, and we have allowed it, and now it's spewed over into society. But as in Applebee's, I walked in. I have to have a little book. I got to do this one. Okay? I walk in with my friend that I really can't tell. I'm not going to tell you his name. Okay? So I walk in, and I said, Then here comes the boy. Two earrings. And what table are y'all going to be at today? How many of them are there? I said, two. Come right this way. And she flung around like here and said, your waiter will be right with you. And so I really, it's funny, but I really was thinking, man, how sad is this? How confused people are in this world when you say, hey, man, what's up? A girl turns around. And when you say, hey, lady, a man turns around. How confused can we get? Then, while we're at the restaurant, two couples come in that know the person I'm with, sat down and say, hey, I know you. Man, I've been wanting to meet you, and I've seen you at church, and I got me a new church now, we're really settled in. We're having a good time, man, and God has called us to do this. God has called me to do that. In the same breath, she says, waiter. They came over there. The waiter came over there. The couple said, they both want three sweet teas apiece from the bar. Now, let me tell you this right quick. A sweet tea from the bar, most of you know, is not boiling it on the eye, pouring it in sugar, and serving it with cornbread. Okay? Now, I'm not going to preach against drinking right now, but I do have a ton of scriptures where it says, do not be a drunkard. There's plenty of scripture where it says, do not be a drunkard. That's right. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay? So, they proceed to drink all three of the sweet teas, and by the end of those three sweet teas, they was getting more, hollering in my face loud, spitting in my face, and saying, God has called them to do this. And they couldn't even talk. God's called them to do that. And we just love people, and God has put us in a ministry. Now, in one breath, they were saying they were called by God and love God and love people. But in the second breath, they was getting drunk, which was going against the Word of God, which is total confusion. Are y'all listening? So this is a totally confused society, and I'm here to tell you, it's not because of them. It's because of us. We haven't taught the right things. Maybe we have, and maybe we've allowed some things. Now, let me tell you about the truth. When I was growing up, I was injected with the truth, and it hurt a lot of times. Let me tell y'all real quick about the truth. The truth is going to sting you sometimes, but if you want to hear the truth, you got to hang in there with it, and it's going to set you free. It says in the Bible that iron sharpens iron. So if you're willing to do right and you're wanting to do right, you're going to be willing to listen to the truth no matter how much it hurts you. So I'm telling you today, if you're not willing to hear the truth, then there's a heart problem and you're on the inside of you, that you have a heart problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, God wants us to be filled with the truth. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to know the truth because the truth will... It's tough sometimes, but let me tell you something. As I said before, we are living in a society where 25 years ago one thing was preached against, and now today everybody's saying it's okay. How did it become okay? Who told them it was okay? Who told them to go against the Word of God? How come the Bible's different now than it was 30 years ago? You know the answer? Because it's not. The Bible was and is and always will be. God said He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So the Word of God does not change. I'm fixing to get into the Scripture. I'm not going to keep y'all here all day. This is short and to the point. But we are living in a confused society, and it's time that we made a turnaround, starting with me, starting with you, and starting with the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, I'm going to tell you what it says. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Let me tell y'all something real quick. Look at verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people stay away from. Let me tell you something, what's done got so sad in society today. Used to, the preacher and the Christians and the people in the church would be the first ones people call when they need help. But these days, people are staying away from these people because they are showing we are showing a form of godliness, but a lack thereof denying the power. Let me give you an example. A preacher stands up on stage and he preaches the Word of God, and then after service he goes home and beats his wife, or he cheats on his wife, or he goes out and he's seen being drunk. That is total denying the power, showing a form of godliness. When a Christian says, "Oh, I just love you," but their actions don't show, that's having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. When you show a form of godliness, which is what you say, and then you do not do it with your actions, that's just a form of godliness. Because we got preachers, and I tell you what, I'll back my preacher up any day. I've seen his lifestyle. I know what he preaches, and he's preaching the truth, and he's preaching everything that is straight from the Word of God. I haven't seen him come up with an opinion yet. I've seen him come straight out of the Bible. So I'm going to tell you today, having a form of godliness, we've got preachers across this town, across this land, across the United States, that's standing up on stage and they're messing with our children. They're stealing our money. They're behind closed doors. They're wife beaters. They're drunkards. And they're just showing the form of godliness. And the Bible says we are to test the spirits. Test them. I advise you, and I advise every, and I challenge everybody in here, you need to test and pray God. Pray God, say, "God, show me if Michael's not right or not. Show me if Michael's not real. Show me if Brother Robert's not preaching the truth. Lord, show me," because let me tell you, these people on TV and everywhere you go these days, they're taking a little bit of the Scripture and they're putting a little twist from their mind in it, and it makes it sound good, and they're preaching people straight to hell. They're leading people straight to hell. Because you know what's so sad about society is? This is very sad. That there's a lot of people my age and under and over that don't know what's in this Word. And if you don't know what's in this Word, I can tell you right now, you're going to be thrown to and fro like the ship in the sea that doesn't have an anchor. The Bible says a ship in the sea without an anchor is tossed to and fro. Wherever the waves carry it, that's where that ship's going to go. So if you don't have the Word of God in you, you're going to be deceived. Because let me tell you, I know the Word of God. I know what's in here. I know what's on the inside. And let me tell you, I've seen some cats on TV, and I've seen some cats throw some stuff out that if I didn't know the Word, I'd be like, "Man, that dude is good. He's really putting on a good game. And he's fooling a lot of people." You have to know this Word to know when somebody's trying to deceive you. Okay? I'm moving on real quick. It says in verse 13 of the same chapter, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Verse 15 says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now this verse didn't say in 15. Look at verse 15. It didn't say, now as the Word changes and as we become of a society that everything starts evolving, it doesn't say that. It says the Scriptures that you learn from your childhood, the Holy Scriptures, stick to that. Stick to the Holy Scriptures. That means it hasn't changed. That don't mean that if you're a boy, you need to act like a girl. That doesn't mean if you're a girl, you need to act like... Everybody is so confused today. It's mainly the younger generation, slightly mine, a little bit under mine. I don't remember that growing up at all. But nowadays I look around and everybody's trying to be everything else but them. I can tell you right now, God has not called you to be like your neighbor. to act like your neighbor, to look like your neighbor. He's not called you to look like me, talk like me, talk like your pastor. He's not called you to look like your wife. Your wife is not called to look like you, husband. But God has made you specially, and He made you for a reason, and He made you to carry out the scriptures that you learned from your childhood. Because you have a purpose. Your purpose isn't somebody else's purpose. Amen? I'm moving on real quick. Let's go to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I'm going to be wrapping it up here in the next few minutes. It says, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Y'all get ready for this. Verse 2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry. Look at verse 2. I'm going to tell you real quick. Verse 2 says, preach the word, be ready, in season out, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The bottom line, it says, be ready, preach it, convince, rebuke, and exhort. If people want to hear the truth, you got to have patience with them. You got to stick in. Now, if there's some people, you're going to know if they don't want to hear the truth. I have done a lot, and I'm sure a lot of people have. I've done a lot of counseling. If there's people that comes to me, I used to do this. I would counsel people 100 times on the same thing, and they would never do what they were supposed to do. You know what I started doing, Coop? I started telling them after the first or second, third, fourth, fifth time, if you're not going to really want to do what the Word says, then I can't help you. Michael, or you can't help nobody that's not really wanting to help themselves. If they don't want to follow the Word of God, then they cannot be helped. So they're wasting your time, they're wasting my time. But if you come up on somebody that really wants to hear it, because it's sad that people don't know the Word. It's a travesty. But that's what you're called for, to be patient, be long-suffering, to lift them up and exhort them and teach them. Be ready in season, out of season, no matter what, and to preach it. I'm almost done. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Verse 3. Let me tell you this real quick. Oprah Winfrey, one of the most known names around, one of the most followed, one of the most richest, one of the most powerful women there are. And there's a lot, billions of dollars, billions of people that follow her. Do you know what she said on her show live? She said there's more than one way to heaven. There are a lot of different ways to heaven. She said that you can get to heaven by good works, by doing good things, by saying good things, being a good person. But let me tell you something. The Bible says there's only one way to God, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. But she announced it on TV with all these followers and all these, let me say it, dummies following her, and she's sitting there telling everybody, and they're believing this junk, that there's more than one way to heaven when the Bible says there's only one way.
Right,
we are living in a confused society today. You have to be on your P's and Q's. You got to read, study, and get this word deep down on the inside of you. You, it's up to you. Let me finish. Y'all staring at me. I got to go. Let's finish it. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Let me go back to verse 3. It says, they have itching ears and they will heap up for themselves teachers. You got people today starting churches because they don't want to hear the real truth told. They want to start churches and they want to start groups because they want teachers to teach them what they want to hear and make them feel good. Nobody wants to hear that they're going to hell if they don't turn to Jesus, but that's the plain truth. There's nothing fun about it. If you're not saved today and if you don't have Jesus in your heart, I can tell you there's only two ways to go. Give your heart to Jesus or you're going to hell. There's nothing fun about that. You can put a spotlight on me. I can dance for you. But the truth is still the truth. No matter what you do, where you go, truth is the truth and it will set you free. I'm finishing up. But we got people today that has itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what's good to them. And it says they will be turned aside and drawn away by fables like Oprah Winfrey. She's a clown. She's a person. We love her, but she's teaching clown stuff. She's teaching coloring book comics. Because there's not 100 ways to heaven. There's only one way. And if you don't believe me, I just have to want... Can somebody look up John 14:6 real quick? Real quick, and as I read the next passage of Scripture, just be ready to read it. But it says in verse 5, listen up, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. God has called you. Do the work of an evangelist." I'm not just the only preacher in here. Every day you go out and you preach something. I don't know what you're preaching. I don't know what you're teaching. But you're preaching and teaching something. You are an evangelist. And you know the Word of God. So it says to fulfill your ministry. People are dying and going to hell. People are confused. People are living in a society. They're being led astray. They're being false teachers, false preachers, false doctrines. But you, as the Bible says, stick to the Scriptures that you learned as children. Preach it, exhort, be long-suffering, and fulfill your ministry. Don't back away from it. Mr. Tony, do you have it?
Yep.
What does it say?
Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
There's only one way. And the next time you see Oprah Winfrey or anybody else, anybody in society that tells you different, they're confused or they're a false teacher. They're trying to lead you astray and they have itching ears and they want to hear what they want to hear to make them feel good. They don't want to do right. They are going to hell and they want to take you with them. So we're living in a confused society today. When men are answering to women, women are answering to men, people dressing like they're not, acting like they're not, and doing exactly the opposite of what God has called them to be. God has given us not a spirit of fear to face society. You know what? There's nothing to fear if we have the Word of God on the inside of us. There's nothing to fear. The Bible says, don't be scared of the person that can kill the body, but of the person that can kill your soul. Do y'all understand that? The truth is the truth. It don't have glitter on it all the time. It don't have a fancy song written on it sometimes. It don't have a drama written on it. It don't have everything that you see today. But the truth is the truth. And it's going to set you free. I could go on and on today, but I'm going to cut it short right there. And I'm going to ask you today, there's only two ways. There's only two ways you can go when you die. When I grew up, and some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, I grew up every week with a preacher saying there's only heaven and hell. I didn't hear, "Oh, let's have a good time and do this and do that. Everything's okay. God this, God loves you, and go ahead and kill that person. It's okay." No, that's not right. God does love you, but He wants to turn, wants you to turn away from your sinful ways, because sin will turn you upside on your head. Sin has nothing but consequences in your life that you have to pay for forever. Sin, physically, it's always there. But when you turn it over to God, He wipes it all away. If you don't give your heart to Christ and let Him wipe it all away, wash it all away, there's only one road you can go to. And I'm going to say it, it's hell. A burning place forever and ever that you will not be able to escape. And those people that would lead you there, they're not going to be able to get you out of there. Brother Nathan and Morgan, would y'all come up here, please? And as we get ready to do an altar call, I want to say this right here. Our kids are growing up in this society that we live in. You can say, and I can say, they're not going to sway me, Dave. I'm not dressing like no girl, are you, dude? No, sir. Ouch. But ain't no girl can squeeze a hand like that, okay? Maybe. But we can say, hey, I know better. But you know something? Your kids are growing up in this world. Your grandkids are growing up in this world. You know who they need to teach them? You. You know who society needs? The church. And the church has failed. Let's be honest. We have failed. We have allowed so much. We've set back so much and said everything's okay. And by saying okay, if we just didn't say nothing at all and let it happen, then we're saying it's okay. But it's time to be vocal about these things. Let me pick somebody out of the crowd since you don't understand what I'm saying. Anybody. My goodness. Do you want your sons to grow up acting like a girl and dressing like a girl? Who in the world does? Does anybody in here want their kids acting the opposite of what they've been born with? No. You don't want them to be anything else but what God has made them to be. And let me tell you something. Just like disciplining a child, which is tough, hard work, you have got to set people down and teach them in your churches. If they come in, yes, we're going to love them, but we got to tell them the truth. Sooner or later, if they don't like it at first, at least you got the truth to them. And then later on, when they're sitting by themselves, they can start thinking, and the truth is just going to start inching in on the inside. And finally, they're going to say, when they finally figure out that they're not happy at night and lay down and miserable, and they're living another person's life in something that they're not, they're finally going to say, oh God, He was right. The Word of God, the truth that He told was right. You might be hated at first. The Bible says you're going to be persecuted. But in the end, when the truth finally puts the dart in their heart, that's when change occurs. Because the Bible says the truth shall set you free. And that was 100 years ago, and today it still stands. Don't let people tell you that the Bible has changed. Don't let these preachers that are preaching this false stuff tell you, oh, it's okay when the Bible says it's not. Call him a dummy. He's false. He's either haven't read the Bible or he's misleading you on purpose. And either way, you don't need to hear it. The Bible says from those type of people, stay away. Turn away from those people. The ones that show the form of godliness, it says turn away from those, and their actions show different. And as I close this morning, I'm asking you, everybody in this room, where is your heart right now? Where is your heart? Where does it stand? Are you one of those people that are confused? You know what? We're not here to make fun of nobody. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to help you. We're here to turn you around. You've heard what the Word of God says this morning. So I'm asking you, are you confused in your mind this morning? Do you want to be something else and, rather than what you are? Or number two, the most important thing, if you walked in here and you don't have Jesus in your heart, simple as that. You're asking me, what does that mean, Michael? That means, have you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. And I'm asking you, come. I believe you died on the cross. I believe what I've always heard. And I believe what I read. And I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood for me so that I could have an eternity in heaven with you. If you haven't done that this morning, this most of all is for you. Because the last thing I'm going to say before I give the altar call is, people measure success by job status, money, things, having power. But I say, success to me is laying down at night and having peace in your soul from Jesus Christ. And if you haven't experienced that yet, I promise you, you have been missing out. But I'm going to offer you that today. I'm not going to offer it to you. I'm going to offer the invitation and let God open it up to you this morning. If I spoke to you in any way this morning, in any way, as they get ready to sing, Wrap Me in Your Arms, start from the top, okay? If I've spoke to you in any way, I'm not going to keep begging. I've learned not to do that. Because you know if God's talking to you. And I'm telling you by experience, if God's pulling at your heart, you better not let it go. You better not fight it. Let it go. So these altars over here are open. These steps are open. And you know what? I don't care if you got out of your seat and just turned around and prayed at your seat. You don't have to walk up here. We're not here to embarrass nobody. But I can tell you, you're in a room full of people that love you. And the most important thing, the Word of God, Jesus loves you. And He's calling you home this morning. So if I've spoken to you in any type of way, or if you don't know how to say that prayer, I got a couple of guys over here on the left. If you come up to me and say, hey, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. I'm tired of my lifestyle. I'm tired of being miserable. My heart is heavy. I'm carrying burdens. I'm not happy. Good, because today's your day. I can lead you to a couple people over here that help you say that prayer, and I promise you, you're going to be changed from now on. Y'all just go ahead and start singing, if you would. It's open. If that's you this morning, I'm asking you to come on up to the front, because I know there's some people in here this morning that God's speaking to.
God, who loves me, who wraps me in His arms, that
sing, Wrap Me in Your Arms.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
The altar's still open as they sing, Wrap Me in Your Arms. I know the Lord's speaking to somebody in this room, young people, older, middle-aged, it doesn't matter. If you feel that pull, I'm asking you to come on.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
arms.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
One more time.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
If you just play that softly, I'm going to take just the next minute one more time, because I have to do it, or it'll be on my hands. Is there anybody in this place that doesn't know Jesus? You haven't asked Him in your heart. You're not saved. And I can tell you there's only one place, if you go out of here and Jesus is not in your heart, and it's not heaven. So I'm telling you this morning, the invitation's open from God. Don't blow this chance. You might get another 100 chances. I can't predict your life. I can't predict if the Lord's coming back today or not. I don't know. But the chance might be that you don't get another chance. So I'm asking this morning, do you need to make a change in your life? Is Jesus in your heart? Don't wait another second. We're going to sing it one more time. Wrap me in your arms. If you haven't made that decision, please don't hesitate.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
Sing it out loud.
Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms.
As he plays again, I'm going to end it like this. Kyle, do you mind if I pray for the little sheet change? Would y'all come up here? If there's anybody that wants to come behind them and help pray. Donna, you want to come up here? You can go ahead and play. Well, I'll walk to her, okay, so she won't have to get up. Can I have one more person just to come up here and just stand in behind them? This little cheat chain right here is having a lot of problems, okay? In their heart, they got some decisions to make. So we're standing in the gap for them. We've seen God do big things in my family. My dad's standing here, and you might have been seeing some things in your family. And a lot of things is going on. But God is a bigger than any problem that we have, okay? So we just want to pray that there's peace over this couple. And we pray for this baby here, such a sweet baby, and that the right decision will be made and that God's hand will be on the situation. And we got a couple more here coming. So if you would, just everybody bow our head, and we're just going to pray. And if you would, stretch your hands and touch them. Or, Father, I thank you right now, Lord. Father, I thank you right now for this little heart to operate right. Father, I pray, Lord, that as the doctors get ready to go in and that we, that the parents, Lord, make the right decision. And Father, that your spirit will dwell and your peace and your comfort will just flood them in their mind. Lord, we know how it is when our children are sick. So Father, I pray for the mama right now, Lord, that her mind would be at ease. That your peace would come over. Father, we know how mothers are with their kids and their children. So Father, I pray for peace over her right now, Lord. And I pray for the father, Lord, that he will be strong. He'll be a leader. Lord, he will know what to say and what to do. And Lord, that your peace will comfort him. And Father, I pray over this little body right now, Lord, that your word says by your stripes that we are healed. So we're calling it out because we're not scared of it, Father. Father, as the surgery go well, and we just pray healing in this little body right now, Lord. You didn't send us this baby for no reason. So, Father, thank you right now, Lord, for the peace of God coming over the doctors as they do the surgery. And, Lord, a great miracle that even the doctor can't even figure out will come forth, Lord. And, Father, we're giving you the glory. We're giving you the praise and we're giving you the honor right now as we speak, Father. And, Father, we just pray right now for this little heart to beat right. And we call it out, Lord. Whatever we ask and not have doubt in our heart, And we say to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, that you'll do it, Father. So, Father, we're praying right now for peace and health. Right now in this family and this little baby right now. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. And let's, if you'll stretch your hand towards Miss Christy, she's having real bad problems. Father, I thank you right now. Father, as she gets ready for surgery next week, Lord. Lord, that the doctors will go in and go right to the problem and they will fix it, Lord. And Father, that you will guide their hands, Lord, supernaturally, that you will go right to it, and Lord, and she'll be better coming out than she went in, ever was before. So Father, you know Christy's heart. She's a servant. She has you on the inside. So Father, we give you her mind, her body, that she's going to come out of there a different person. And Father, I thank you for your healing. I thank you for the people that's around her, that's supporting her. Thank you for the church family. Father, that there's blessings, Lord, blessings upon blessings, Father. Father, just touch her and give her a peace of mind as she lays down. And give her comfort and give her joy. And bless her house, Lord. She's raising those kids, Lord. She's having a tough time sometimes. It's tough raising kids. So, Father, give her instruction. Give her what she needs to raise her children right, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. And is there anybody else that you need prayer? You got sickness in your body or anything that you just... It's good to see everybody in the house of God. Like I said, it's good to see all you state line people, all my friends, all my family. Thanks for coming out this morning. Sing it one more time and we'll just be dismissed. So wrap me in your arms, okay? Sing it out loud and we can be dismissed.
Wrap me in your arms. 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 Wrap me in your arms.
I'm sorry, I forgot. One more thing, Brother Cooper, if you'd come make this last statement here as we're dismissed. And it's something exciting, okay?
Well, you talk about excitement, I'm excited. I was blessed beyond measure last Sunday night to come to church and to be a support for Morgan as she did the drama for the kids there. And I was triple blessed because I have a special person today that I led to the Lord last Sunday night. And it's Mr. Joey Morphis, and he'd like to make that public this morning. So he's here today with us, and if he would come forward, we'll make that public and just be absolutely proud about that. Can you come, Joey?
Yeah, y'all give him a hand.
Amen.
As he comes forward.
Amen. Amen. Brother, I love you. I told you that last Sunday night, and you received Jesus Christ in your heart and life, and prayed a prayer of salvation and asked Jesus to come in your heart and life. So you're saved. Is that correct?
Well, I'm still working on it.
Okay. All right. But he came forward and made that public. So I appreciate that. And so I thank you for being here and being a part of this church. And so I thank you for coming. And I'd like to pray for you right now. Father, as this journey continues, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you touch Joy's life and Father, that you'd share with him, Lord, the scriptures, Lord, that he needs to know and be aware of. Brother Michael has really been on fire this morning, sharing with those that are here today, asking them, Lord, if they're saved. And I pray right now for Joey, as I shared with him last Sunday evening. And Father, once again, we're going to give you all the praise for everything that you do for us. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we do pray. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. If you do not have a church home, State Line welcomes you. Amen.